Interesting slide, David. Thank you. You know, I was talking with Ted just the other day, and I think it was Ted, or maybe it was John, maybe it was both of them at different times, and we were talking about all the changes that have taken place since we've been here at church. I mean, the last time we were at church, we had a front drive. Last time we were at church, we had sidewalks that went out to that front drive. Last time we came to church, we had our sign that was out in front, and we had a fireplace over here in between our buildings. We had a parking lot that was falling apart last time we were at church. And now that we've returned, we've started, you know, we were able to, at different times, have different groups come out with their social distancing and be able to remove that road and the sidewalks out in front, as preparing for our new landscape as well as for our new digital sign. We hope that we'll be up in sometime in June. Amen. All right. This rain has postponed our lining of our parking lot, and if we can get to it here this week, hopefully we'll get to it, but most likely it'll probably be the next week that we'll line our parking lot. And I know some people have looked and said, well, Pastor, that parking lot's not perfect. No, it's not perfect. It was not perfect. It's imperfect, just like we are. It's imperfect. It's got some bumps and some scars and so forth, but it's a lot better than what it was. And we're praising the Lord for that, and we went as far as we could in updating it, because otherwise we were looking at, you know, quite a bit of money, you know, $500,000 at least to redo everything, and we'd lose our parks, we'd have to put in a retention pond, you know, for the runoff from the parking lot and so forth. So we're thankful for where we've gotten, and, you know, we're waiting on our next chair, sample chair, to come in to sample for our new seating here. I'm so thankful that we didn't put new seating in yet, because when we sterilize these pews after everybody leaves, we don't have to worry about it. We're just going to sterilize them. If they, you know, get discolored later on, well, it's okay, because they're coming out. So there are some blessings, you know, as we look at some of these things. You know, last week last Sunday was Mother's Day, and you know, truth be told, my life has been, believe it or not, you'd think it would just be, you know, boring and nothing exciting happening, but there's been lots going on the last couple of months, and a lot of different other challenges and so forth, and I totally skipped Mother's Day until Friday. I was like, Sunday's Mother's Day. And I called Marta right away, and I said, hey, you know, I can switch up, and we can do a Mother's Day sermon. But then I said, no, you know what, there's not going to be mothers there. I said, we'll put off Mother's Day 1 week for our church, because everybody's coming back, or not everybody, but, you know, people are coming back this week. And so, moms, we're here to celebrate you today. Whoops, got to turn my clicker on. There we go. So we want to thank you, moms, for being the incredible woman that you are. We certainly appreciate you, we applaud you, and we celebrate you today. We want to say to you, Happy Mother's Day from the Caldwell Church. Happy Mother's Day. That's going to be our focus today. You saw what our sermon title was, you know, looking at what it takes to be a mother. And so I'm going to start off by reading Proverbs. You can turn in your Bibles there if you'd like to. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to read verses 10 to 31, and I'm going to be reading from the first part here. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It's not going to be up on the screen. So if you don't have a Bible or an electronic Bible that you can look this up, you'll just have to listen carefully. A wife of noble character, that's the heading, a wife of noble character. I would say a mother of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. her husband can trust her, and she will be greatly, or she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship. Now, guys, be careful of this one, all right? Okay, that doesn't mean she's like a merchant. All right, let's read the rest of it to get an understanding. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. I tell you, I got to be honest with you folks. I am a food lover. I love food. I dream about food. I dream about eating food. You know, I'm dreaming and hoping when we get to heaven that I'm going to have that section where all the garlic and onions going to be, because I can't eat it right now. But I once ate it and I love it. So I'm that's going to be my section. And so I love, and I know that to a man's heart, it's through my stomach. You know, it works that way. That my wife, although my wife caught me, she wasn't the best cook at the time. She's a great cook now, but when we were first dating, she didn't know how to cook. So I guess that isn't always true. You know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, but I love food. All right, back to the point here. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. Doesn't that, boy, how many ladies here got servant girls that you plan for? Oh, okay. All right, well, you should have them. All right. You have children. She goes to inspect a field and she buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits, and the other civil leaders are. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Now, I know that the Bible here is talking about the ideal woman, right? I mean, I wish we could all live up to those qualities right there. We strive for that. We do our best. And by God's grace, we do our best job in doing that. But I want to do today, I'm going to work with an acronym. We're going to work with the word mother here, okay? And taken from this passage as we've read it, I'm going to bring out some attributes or some qualities of mothers. When I think of M, I think of a manager. A manager. Another word that I was thinking of was the merciful multitasker. A merciful multitasker. I tell you, I don't know what it's like for some of you men in your home, but my wife, as I've watched her, she knows how to multitask. You know, guys, we're tunnel visioned. We work out of one drawer. Women can work out of like 8 to 12 all at the same time. And we're losing track because we focus in on one thing. But think about a mom today. Think about what many moms do today. Many moms are employed outside of the home. Okay? So they're helping contribute, you know, in our economic situation in today's world. Many moms are finding it and choosing to work to help supplement the income in their homes. Moms are working so that their children can go to Christian schools. So they're making the sacrifices. You know, I remember hearing a lot of times from many professional individuals that have an opportunity, and they get on the media airways, and they talk about their mom was a single mom and how their mom went and worked two or three jobs so that they could have food to eat, a place to live, and a future. So moms are amazing superheroes, in my opinion. When you see the sports stars, right? When the camera gets on them, what do? Hi, Mom! Like, what about Dad? He's probably the one that was out playing catch with you, you know, teaching you how to catch that ball or throw it or whatever. You know, moms have made such an impact in our lives that we recognize them. And so I think of moms again today, not only working outside of the home, but working in the home. We read this proverb, and we see that this woman kept her lamps burning late in the night. She was up first thing in the morning. I know my wife many times has many things on her minds that she's thinking of about the next day. When my daughter was young, it was interesting. I didn't know she was already developing her motherly traits. She was so organized and thinking and planning all the time that after her birthday party, she was already planning the next birthday party. And she'd have her list. And she'd have her schedule out. When she got older and went to high school and college, she had her list. Okay, this I need to do, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. Not just her classwork, but everything in her life. She was detailed. She had to juggle a lot. And even now with her son, a special needs child, she juggles a lot. So mothers manage a lot of the household. They take care of many needs in the home. Mothers are also observers. Nothing goes unnoticed by moms, right? I'm not talking about the socks that you left on the floor that need to get into the laundry basket. You know, I'm not talking about that. Or the toys, you know, some of our children have failed to pick up. Yes, they notice those things too. But moms have this sense about them that sometimes us guys, we're just oblivious to, right? They know when something's wrong. They know when something's troubling us. And they're able to, they have this observation to be able to pick up on that on their radar system, and they're willing to take the time to take us aside and sit down and say, what's going on? Come on, tell me about this. Tell me. They're others focused. Other focus, that's what mothers are, other focus. It's not, yeah, they take care of their own needs, but a lot of times their own needs fall quite a ways down the list. My wife said to me today, she says, now don't bring any roses home to me. My wife is not a rose person or a flower person. And I said, well, come on, you know, you'd like to have gifts. She goes, no. I like to make flowers and do flower arrangements for other people. That's what moms do. They're always serving. My daughter took my wife and I through a list of things. Here recently we were playing a game virtually with her husband and I, her husband and Kara and I, and we were playing the newlywed game. And so the question was, what would your spouse do if they came into a lot of money? Into a lot of money. And every one of us got what Kara wrote down. She wrote it down and we guessed it. She would go out and get gifts and take care of the needs of her family and people that need it. That's mom. That's a mother, right? Mothers are teachers, especially today. I mean, when we think about all the schools that have, gone to virtual schools or closed down. My wife, she had been employed at Gem State Adventist Academy, and she's known there as Mama Fitting. She was working in the dorm with students. She still has her students texting her, checking in with her, letting them know what's going on with her life. Some of them have called. But she's now at home every day from at least 10 o'clock in the morning until 5 in the evening, and she's homeschooling my two granddaughters because they're not able to go to school. And so she's taking the assignments each day. She's taking the teacher's lessons plans. She's relearning some of the math that she needs to learn, struggles with. But she's taking the time, and she's teaching our granddaughters from 10 to 5. That's quite a bit of day. That's along with all the other things that she does. But mothers do more than just teach academics. I'm just recognizing today what many moms are being asked to do, as well as some of them hold down their jobs to care for their children. Moms can be not only teachers, but tutors. Teachers in the sense of teaching their children about life. You know, one of the things that I used to tell the different people when I was deaning at an academy, I would tell other people that, yes, the math teacher may be teaching math and the science teacher may be teaching science, but my role as a dean was to teach life, how to do life to my guys in the dorm. That was my responsibility. I was a house parent, right? And children are always, they're like little sponges, and they're observing what we're doing. And so moms, you are teachers. You teach your kids right from the very beginning to trust as you care for them. You're teaching them a principle that they can hopefully put their trust in the Lord as you follow the Lord, right? You teach your children about how to pray, how to give thanks. I can remember my oldest son, when he was a very little boy, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law were watching him while Kara and I took our first date away since we had him. And it came mealtime, and they had him. They put him in his high chair, and they brought the food out, and my son did this. And my mother-in-law didn't know what he wanted to do, and he wasn't ready to eat. He kept doing this. And that's because his mom taught him how to pray, to give thanks before he eats. So there was little Matthew folding his hands, and finally Grandma got it. She said a little prayer along with him, and then he was ready to eat. So moms, you have a lot to teach us how to do life, how to do life. Our characters are greatly molded by you as moms. H is for healer. I remember a story when I was a little boy, I remember my experience when I was a little boy. I was probably about 12, maybe it was 11. No, I was 10. Sorry. Doesn't make any difference. And I was going to get a haircut with my brother. Back in those days, bicycles had fenders on them. Does anybody remember fenders on bicycles? Yeah, this had a fender on it. And it actually had even a little book rack on the back. Anybody remember those? The book rack, you know, a little spring thing. You put your books in there and ride. And so those also operated as a second seat. And so I was sitting on that seat, not very comfortable, by the way, but I was sitting on that book rack, and I was holding on to the bike seat in front of me, and my brother was pedaling, and we were going to the barber shop, just like I'm going to do, hopefully, this next week. I'm going to get to, woo-hoo! I can't wait. This is the longest my hair has been in a long time. I don't know what quite to do with it, so. So I was riding on the back. Well, we came to a hill. There was a hill, and we walked up the hill. We couldn't ride up, so we walked up the hill. We decided we're going to ride down the hill. And so my brother was on the front, I was on the back, and zoom, we took off. And we were moving pretty quick. What we didn't think about was at the bottom of that hill, there was like a speed bump. My brother hit the speed bump, boom, he's holding on to the handlebars. He's got a firm grip on there. He's not thrown off, but when I hit the bump, there was no padding, and my little fingers trying to grip that seat as mightily as I could broke loose, and I started flying like Superman. And that was okay. That was kind of fun while it lasted, but the landing was pretty bad. I remember hitting the pavement, and it was, you know, kind of like the chip and seal, and there was pebbles on the side of the road, and I slid right into that, and I had shorts on. Oh, my goodness. I had road rash from here all the way down. Little stones embedded in my skin. I can remember going home. We lived probably, we were only a block and a half away from home. And I started going home, and I was bawling and crying. I got home, and my mom met me at the door. She heard me screaming, and, you know, she took me into the house. She gently set me on the edge of the bathtub and told me that she was going to have to clean out these wounds. And it was going to hurt. And I was like, no, Mommy, I don't know. She says, nope, we're going to have to do this because we don't want it to get infected. And she cleaned it out as gently as she could, and then she put the salve on it, and she wrapped it in bandages. I remember other times, you know, when I had my molars out. You know, Mom was there to take care of me. You know, when you see little kids, kiss it, Mommy. You want me to kiss it? Yes, kiss it. Yeah. Mommies are healers. Emotional healers as well. Sometimes we go through some difficult moments. Encourager. Encourager. E is for, I thought, encourager. I think about moms and how they encourage us in life. Maybe you've heard this story once before. I can remember I had given my boys a chore to mow the lawn. When I'd come home, I showed them how to mow the lawn. I went out and I showed them how to push that mower, how to line it up just right, how to do it correctly. And I came home, the lawn was mowed, but I noticed that there were some gaps, there were some strips, looked like a mohawk out there. And so, I don't know, what would you call that, a grass hawk, a lawn hawk, or what, I don't know. So I promptly, doing my fatherly duty, went into the house and brought the boys outside. My wife followed along. And I said, boys, did you notice this strip of grass here? It's longer than the other ones. It didn't get mowed. Now you should have taken the mower over that, and there's some over here. Come on, follow me, and I'll show you some more. And boom, and I said, now I want you to go get the mower and, you know, take care of that. Once the boys were gone, because my wife tried not to correct me in front of the children, she says, honey, come along here with me. So just like I took the boys, she took me along, and we're starting to walk through the lawn, and she goes, do you notice anything? And I said, I noticed where they missed. She goes, did you notice all the grass that got cut? I said, yeah, but they missed the spot. She goes, but look at all that they did. Ah, mothers are encouragers. Trying to help me, you know, it would be something that I needed to learn in life was how to be an encourager, to be able to notice the good things and then point out, yes, here, oh, you did a great job over here. Next time when you mow, maybe we can get this too, or something like that. I can remember when I was a little boy, and I had finished a little league game of baseball, and I had struck out on one of the occasions. But my mom was always encouraging me. My dad, I got in the car and he said, "Man, you were swinging like a girl out there. How did you miss that?" I was like, "What?" My mom, though, was the encourager. She was the encourager. And that's important as we go through life. Moms somehow are able to see the potential of their children. Yes, we have lots of flaws. We have lots of shortcomings as children, but hopefully moms encourage your children. That will go a long way. The R, moms are relentless lovers. Relentless lovers. We fail many times in our household, at least we did, you know, when I was growing up, and even as a husband, I failed. My children have failed. My wife has even failed at times. But she always returns back to love. She doesn't stay angry very long. But moms are relentless lovers. And I think about that attributes, each one of these attributes coming from our Heavenly Father. You think of M as a manager. You think about how God manages the universe, how he's put everything in place, right? Every day you think about all that he multitasks, that even at the moment that I whisper a prayer, he's attentive. He knows, and he's paying attention right there. He's not so busy, but yet he's multitasking. He, again, is managing a whole universe. God is observant to our needs, right? He knows how many hairs are on our heads. You know, how many of you know how many hairs are on your head? I don't. Yeah. Some of us don't have much of any, and some of us have too much. But God is observant. He knows when we get up. He knows when we get down. God's work, right? He's always watching over us, even as we sleep. He's an observer. He cares for us. He knows when our hearts are breaking. And he longs to come in and to be with us. He's a teacher. God's a teacher. Sometimes we learn by wisdom from his book. Sometimes we learn by experience. But he's a teacher, a healer. God is a healer. And again, always there to pick up the pieces when we need him to. He's an encourager. He sees the potential in us. He knows the strengths that we have that he gave to us. He knows when he looks at us, he sees not as who we are, but yet as whom we can become. And he is a relentless lover. So in a sense, God is a mother. I know we might have trouble with that statement, but in a sense, God is a mother. He's a mother, and he gives these attributes to our mothers. I want to read once again this Proverbs 31, 10 to 30, verses 10 to 31, but this time from the Message Bible. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn, preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and she buys it. Then, with her money she's put aside, she plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful fine linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them and brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect her and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. So moms, happy Mother's Day. We love you and we appreciate you. And as we, you know, it's hard to find hymns, you know, about Mother's Day. There's not really any hymns that specifically speak to mothers that I was able to find. But our closing hymn talks about love at home. And moms, you're one of the keys to that love at home. First, you have to have that love for that relentless lover, Jesus himself, so that he would reside and welcome him to reside in your heart, so that you can share that in your home. And so love at home is an attribute that you can bring as a gift to your whole family. So let's go ahead and turn to that song and sing Love at Home.